The best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you, that you like to be able to. Anyway.
It's getting ugly, folks. There's no other way to put it.
Team Smotherage for the rest of your life on this thing.
What are you going to do?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
This is the Brian Suits Show.
2 hours later.
Well, you got to work pretty hard to scare out the pissed off cannibal spokespeople. But that's what the president's story did. This is so funny because right now, Papua New Guinea and Southwest Pacific Islands, Melanesia, Micronesia, is that a very sensitive place because the Chinese are flat out bribing them to build world-class ports. And so they don't appreciate the president saying that his uncle was eaten by cannibals. Outraged Papua New Guinea academics lash out at Biden's unacceptable suggestion. Quote, they wouldn't just eat any white men that fell from the sky. Not any. So anyway, you got to work hard, but he found a way. And the White House did address it yesterday. Historically, cannibalism has been reported. Has been reported in Papua New Guinea, the island. The Pacific nation that occupies the eastern half of the island of New Guinea. But local academics say Biden's categorization of the act is very offensive. Michael Kabuni, a political science lecturer at the University of Papua New Guinea, try the veal, told the Guardian newspaper that cannibalism was previously practiced by some communities in a very specific context, and that locals wouldn't just eat any white man that fell from the sky. They would find a Biden chewy and stringy. Other analysts branded Biden's claims as unsubstantiated and poorly judged, especially during a time in which the U.S. has been trying to strengthen ties with Papua New Guinea and keep the Chinese out. And that reminds me that I did include that in the end of the week weekly morning montage. And that's going to go a little something like, where did I put it? Like this or something. Are we vamping? I think I'm vamping. All right, here we go. So this is a cheap, sad trick that I employ in today's montage.
Dickie, when did you start playing guitar?
Well, I started playing music when I was 3 or 4 years old. Played ukulele and
that was the live one that I found from Bill Graham, Fillmore East. It was transcendent. I'll send it. I wish you could all watch this live version because the guy, this is way before, you know, like hitting a pre-recorded key on a Moog or something. The guy just live, like you eat a piece of pineapple, is sitting there just doing Jessica with a guitar in front of people live, note for note.
To a load, 20 beaver ready for the flight to Mountain Meadows.
Don't.
Very bad thing. The whole world is watching this hoax.
But if he actually has to go into a holding jail cell, what does that do? Do we even know? I guess we don't know.
Black folks find him relatable because what he's going through is similar to what Black Americans have gone through. He wasn't lying.
A lot of cannibals.
We are risking our academic standing, like
Xing Zheng Ching.
The plane makes a careful approach, ready for the drop. Now into the air and down they swing, down to the ground near a stream or a lake.
Bing, bing, bing.
Like.
So there we go. Dickie Betts, the iconic singer and writer of many of the Allman Brothers' most iconic songs, like Jessica and Ramblin' Man, dead of cancer, age of 80. And we did not make good on our threat to play any Taylor Swift. Now, this is a tectonic event in the world of music.
I'm glad we didn't follow through on
that
promise.
How much, I don't you think by the end of today, and I'm assuming she's all over Spotify. She'll make $1 billion on that record. Probably from your stupid Apple people.
Maybe a safe guess.
There's a stupid Apple store.
I think she's about to go on tour again, which will probably bring her another $1 billion or something.
Yeah, and then that the movie of her tour is now making all kinds of cash, as if she parachuted into New Guinea or something, which I don't wish for anyone, though I'm apparently...
I did notice that the cover of her album, The Dead Poets Society, she's scantily clad, laying on a bed in a suggestive pose. So it really is all about the music.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's a movie. It's a Robin Williams movie.
I'm just joking. It's called The Tortured Poets Department.
Well,
that's the real
still
name.
Derivative.
Don't you know a joke when you hear one?
I used to plane watch, but not like this kid. This kid correctly predicting a wave, a go around by a flight. And I mean, this is how much of a geek I was. If I was 12 years old today, I would have FlightAware open and I would be at the northern threshold at SeaTac tracking planes coming in, just like this kid.
That's an A340-600 coming in from Munich.
Was that Brian Suits circa 1973?
Well, there are 5 go-rounds and a many runway changes.
I predicted go-rounds. That'd be me at Payne Field in 1979.
Imagine it goes around. Go around!
It did go around. The Lufthansa 380 goes around. So anyway, that's not part of your morning montage. By the way, the House bill did pass the take Putin's money and give it to Ukraine. Did pass. So we'll track that this hour, and more stuff as well.
And Brian, what aren't people hearing about Israel's retaliatory strike on Iran overnight?
Well, they're not hearing, I'll tell you what they're not hearing. They're not hearing, for instance, this. It was a quiet, peaceful night in Isfahan until Israel showed up.
Wow.
So the lights go out immediately. It was this was a very specifically targeted strike on the Iranian Richland, because in the Manhattan Project, Richland was a big part of that deal. And this is the Iranians, pardon, the Israelis doing what they would rather do with bigger manned aircraft, but doing it with drones and knocking the lights out. Now, not only doing it with drones, but drones that were not launched from Israel. They were launched from Iran. And like I said a couple of days ago, this is one thing that the Iranians, that the Israelis have been doing, and that is operating with impunity in Iran. And they did it again a couple hours ago. So the drones originated Iran. So in other words, the Iranians and the Israelis are striking, are counter-striking each other from Iranian soil. And so because the Israelis do have drones that could originate in Israel and hit targets in Iran, but the reason they didn't do that is OPSEC, because somebody in Iraq would call Tehran and say, drones inbound. Drones imminent. If they cross the Persian Gulf, you know, whatever, the Iranians would detect it. But they do not have radar that's looking internally. And so the Israelis took advantage of the fact that they have pantsed Iran several years ago, many times, and that they can operate drones from in your country. You cannot guard your nuclear program from us when we're really, really pissed. And right now, we're kind of a little PO'd. Because those punks at Columbia University, don't you know, rhyming stuff and lying down and stuff and
1, 2, 3
and weaponizing anti-Semitism, according to this one wiener you're about to hear.
Open up the prison door.
See, the prison is the detention bus that the NYPD brought to Columbia University. What's their college nickname, by the way? I mean, their college mascot.
Pretentious J-hole?
Pretentious Lions. No, just the Lions. Remember that cowboy quarterback Jason, what's his name, who then was a coach?
He was the best.
Redhead. He was a, remember him? What is his name? Jason.
Yep.
Someone's saying it. Jeff Bridges. So anyway, his dad was his college coach at Columbia. And
Jason Garrett.
Yeah, his dad, Coach Garrett, was his coach at Columbia. And his dad hated his players so badly that one time at halftime, when they want to get all, you know, pumped up for the second half, their head coach called them drug addicted losers, gave them no advice, and sent them back out there. Now get out there and beat Princeton. And I mean, he knew that. He knew that the program was moribund. It was so bad, his son was a quarterback. And, you know, he actually turned these drug addicts around, but it's notoriously just an entitled, privileged campus where you go just to get that degree. This is Columbia. And that's that. And so anyway, just listen like to some of these people.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Something the Zionist State.
Sounds like a country song.
And then we heard that Ilhan Omar's niece?
Daughter.
Daughter?
Oh, yeah.
Was kicked out?
Immediate family.
That's awesome. I wonder how she got in.
That's the settler dynasty.
Free Palestine.
Free Palestine.
We'll be arrested and charged with trespassing. This is the new
right to jail.
So there you go. My kitty's breath smells like cat food.
You right to jail.
So, where's the kid that I had? I have to find this. The one kid who said that I feel like they're weaponizing anti-Semitism. So in other words, if you defend yourself from physical attack, you're weaponizing your anti-Semitism, or you're weaponizing your victimhood. And we just can't have that. Or
yeah, I've got a student at Columbia University talking about the situation in the region in the Middle East.
Have you ever had a dream that
I see what you're doing.
That's
there
better than the chanting.
so anyway, but no, I've got her somewhere. But yeah, the one. The one who uses like a bunch, and I put her in the morning montage. But so anyway, free Palestine and the whole thing.
It is
funny that and the White House is noting this, that the sympathy for Gaza goes down commensurate with the number of privileged Ivy League people saying rhyming crappy stuff. Which is effectively what's happening there.
So, you're killing me, Smalls.
We'll be arrested and charged with trespassing.
Ha ha.
This is the new.
And that's the thing, is they're being, they're being kicked out. There's a word for that. Anyway, they work their whole lives to get into an Ivy League school, and that's the great secret. Is the hard part's getting in. Once you're in, it's just a regular college. It's not like you're sitting around with Vaclav Havel, you know, discussing philosophy of government or something like that. And sure, they have some great people that will be tenured academics and the whole thing, but their education is not any better than anyone else's. There's a friend of mine that we worked with at a podcasting company could not stop mentioning that he went to Harvard. Didn't need to. Great guy. Didn't need to. But he felt that I needed to know that he went
to
Harvard.
Isn't that why you go to Harvard in the first
place?
That
really kind of is. And it's like it.
Unfortunately, I mean, these days, anyway.
The company went belly up. So it's like, there's your Harvard. And yeah. And I mean, joke's on Trump because he's a co-founder of Truth. But, you know, he didn't need to go, oh, by the way, did I mention I went to Harvard? But he did, you know, all the time. And every time he did, I went, well, I went to the Washington State University, my friend, where we learned to drop beaver from airplanes on Idaho.
to a load, 20 beaver ready for the flight to Mountain Meadows.
In Mountain Meadows, that's how we repopulated the Idaho Sawtooth Mountains with the beaver. It's under parachutes, and that's what we do at the Wazoo. But anyway, so there is that. I can't find any audio of Karine Jean-Pierre, but we do have it on good authority that Biden has now managed to piss off pro cannibal academics, I guess is what you would say.
The pro cannibal electorate.
Yeah, you can now say goodbye to the pro cannibal electorate. So they have Trump now. So now they're going to Trump. So he's the only alternative. I would sense that they would be libertarians, wouldn't you? That if you're a cannibal, you would be very pro-libertarian. John Johnson, who we call Vicky, talking about now the House votes to consider foreign aid bills.
Majority of members get together, they can override the speaker and bring something straight to the floor. That would have happened imminently on the Senate supplemental. So by doing this, even though it's not the perfect legislation, it's not the legislation that we would write if Republicans were in charge of both the House, the Senate, and the White House, this is the best possible product that we can get under these circumstances to take care of these really important obligations. And so we look forward to the vote tomorrow. We look forward to every member voting their conscience and their desire. And that is exactly how this process is supposed to work and how the House is supposed to operate. So,
but everyone here calls me Vicky. Please follow me.
Good for Mike Johnson.
So there he goes, John Johnson. But everyone here calls me Vicky. So that was the rule that they vote on. It wasn't the actual bill. It'll be tomorrow. So they have to put in a Saturday. They gotta work for a living. Like good cannibals or whatever we would say. But Papua New Guinea, he's already had a lot of negative press around riots and tribal fighting, and this doesn't help. And the claims are unsubstantiated, said Mahalopa Lavelle, who echoed the academic's analysis that they get pigeonholed as cannibals, but it's not like they're, quote, eating every white man that falls from the sky. So... And I did actually look into it. There is no record in World War II of the people of New Guinea, the Papuans, being anything but enthusiastic helpers of the American cause. I mean, and it's funny because that's a check that we wrote in World War II that lasts to this day, that ports that we just threw up around Micronesia, Melanesia, and the South Pacific are still in operation today, and the Chinese can't improve them. They can't do better than what... Navy Seabees construction battalions did in 1942 and 43 and 44. I mean, it's amazing the good press we have, and so we ruin it by saying that my uncle parachuted into a cannibal infested area and he was eaten, when there's zero record of that.
Some of you, so I'm just going to kind of repeat. Look, you saw the president. He was incredibly proud of his uncle's service in uniform. You saw him at the war memorial. It was incredibly emotional and important to him. You saw him respond to all of you when asked about the moment yesterday. And his uncle, who lost his life when the military aircraft he was on crashed in the Pacific after taking off near New Guinea. The president highlighted his uncle's story as he made the case for honoring our sacred commitment to equip those we send to war and to take care of them and their families when they come home.
With some Lowry's, maybe a dash of kosher salt.
We are risky.
Wait, here it is.
Cannibals.
So funny. Yeah, it's so funny that she even had to answer that question. And she's dancing around it with, and wrapping herself in the patriotism of the moment when Uncle Bozy parachuted down right into a big, big kettle. I have a cannibal joke. You want to hear the cannibal joke?
You want to tease it for next segment?
Come back for the cannibal joke and the checking of the texting, and we will not play any Taylor Swift and...
A lot of cannibals.
So these two religious, what are they called? You know, they go overseas, hand out Bibles.
This is a bad start.
missionaries. are in a pot of boiling water. Cannibals have captured them, put them in a pot of boiling water. It's getting getting warmer and warmer and warmer. And the one missionary starts laughing maniacally. And the other one says, what are you laughing at? We're going to be eaten. They're boiling us to death, and they're going to eat us. And our entire mission has failed. And then the guy delivers a punchline. Wait till you hear it. Right after this, AM 770 KTTH. Everybody get it? You think?
I think some special people will get it.
All right, there you go. Some cast-offs from English Beat formed the Fine Young Cannibals. Wait, were they the Fine Young Cannibals or just Fine Young Cannibals?
Just Fine Young Cannibals. No need for ta-ha.
We're referencing that the White House had to... Wait, can you... Is it too late? Can you play that again?
The song?
The Karine Jean-Pierre answering the, was the president's uncle eaten by cannibals?
A lot of cannibals.
And implying that his uncle, who actually went down with the aircraft in the ocean.
Uniform. You saw him at the war memorial. It was incredibly emotional and important to him. You saw him respond to all of you when asked about the moment. Yesterday, and his uncle who lost his life when the military aircraft he was on crashed in the Pacific after taking off near New Guinea. The president highlighted his uncle's story as he made the case for honoring our sacred commitment to equip those we send to war. And
what the hell is she talking about? She's making a budget issue? He wouldn't have been eating my cannibals if those stupid Republicans had not, in 1944, had funded the anti-cannibal system. The ACS that FDR was asking for. But so anyway, I guess what happened was there's a memorial in Scranton where he was yesterday, and they have the chronological thing where everyone, all the fine men of Scranton, are their names are in the black marble, just like the Vietnam Memorial. And he found Uncle Ambrose Finnegan's name there, and he touched it. He communed with it. And so then he told the touching tale about how the cannibals ate his uncle and all that, pissing off an entire region of New Guinea, where it's a myth. So anyway, so the religious missionaries are captured by the cannibals. Location unknown. I don't want to be a continentist. So they're put in a iron pot. The sticks are underneath it. It's burning. The water is getting warmer and warmer. And the one missionary starts laughing, open mouth, Bart Simpson, maniacally. And the other guy says, what could possibly be funny at a time like this? We're about to be boiled alive and then eaten by these people. Our families are never going to know where we are. We're going to be like Joe Biden's uncle, nothing will come of us. Our work here is for nothing. And he says, well, I know something they don't know. And the guy says, what? And he goes, I just peed in their soup. See what he did there. So that's a cannibal joke. That's a lot better than this one as we go for the checking of the texting. No, they're not bad. It's just that everyone knows this. If you're a dad or an 8-year-old, you know this song. Why don't cannibals eat clowns, Greg?
Because they taste funny.
Thank you. Good night. Yes, absolutely. Correct. You are a dad, sir. And in answer to an email, I had a conversation with an authority figure in Pierce County, and our departing promotions manager, and I have permission to burn Tacoma down. But metaphorically.
Text from the 425. If you too have such a problem logging into the text, why should we listen to a couple of blithering, sucky talk show stiffs? I like this guy or gal, whoever it is.
Brian and Cheney says, speaking of parachutes, looking into the parachuting beavers of Idaho, it was like a rodent air corps. Funny stuff. No, a real thing. And I accidentally found it today that in Idaho, the Federal Fish and Wildlife Service turned to local universities, often derided at Columbia and other places, where the good state universities, the good land-grant universities of the West, found a way to repopulate beaver into the high mountain meadows of the Rockies and the Cascades by simply parachuting them in, putting them in boxes and tying parachutes to the boxes. And then when they land, the boxes open up and the beavers waddle away.
To a load, 20 beaver ready for the flight to mountain meadows. Parachutes are attached to cargo lines.
And I don't know why in the days of the newsreel they had to voice them like that, but that cracks me up.
The plane makes a careful approach, ready for the drop. Now into the air and down they swing. Whee! Down to the ground near a stream or a lake.
Stand up, hook up, shuffle to the door, you beavers. Out.
The box opens and a most unusual and novel trip ends for Mr. Beaver.
And Mr. Beaver goes waddling off with his bald tail and the whole thing. Ever been around those? You know, they alert each other by slapping the water. It's a very unique sound.
I can imagine.
Sounds like you're hitting two sticks together or something, or you're a beaver with a tail.
Text from the 360. Brian, explain to me why all the Kennedys sound like Katharine Hepburn.
When Daddy announced his bid for the presidency in 1968, he talked about the perilous course our country would take.
I forgot what it's got a name, because RFK Jr., he did address it, and his dad kind of had it, but I sense that his dad was working on overcoming it or something, but it's a congenital throat thing. But yeah, his sisters have it.
Dysphonia?
Yeah, something like that.
True.
But I mean, that's what makes him, as a president, that would make him unlistenable, because he's unlistenable now because he's crazy and he comes out with that voice. So it's like, can you ever take Lucille Ball seriously? Well, no, because of that thing. Too bad the song is a woman singing "He Drives Me Crazy." Oh, use AI to create a Weird Al type version for the election. Still a good choice. I don't get it, but I haven't curated it anymore.
Okay, how about me?
Someone correctly called the punchline. Did the missionary pee in the water? 206. Congrats to you.
Well played. And from the 714, B&G, there are artificial intelligence sites that will make decent quality pop songs for you. All you got to do is input keywords, names, and the genre. I heard a fake punk song, and it sounded like the UK subs.
I have heard the output of that. It is pretty uncanny. I got to say, when it comes to screenwriting or songwriting, since every note possible has been hit and recorded, it can sample everything, and then you can put in Sandy, Utah, furry girl screaming about permission to video, and it will output a passable song.
I'm a Barbie girl in a Barbie world. Life in plastic, it's fantastic.
And that was AI, right? As
no, that's
Johnny
the
Cash.
Real Johnny Cash. Of course, it's AI.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll play the crazy furry woman.
There was some kids dressed up as animals, and I heard that another kid got bit by one of them.
There's a lot of speculation surrounding the protest that happened at Nebo Middle School Wednesday morning. Nearly 75 students and parents showed up facing the school, saying they're unhappy.
Parachute the furry.
With how administration is handling reports of harassment.
Okay.
You guys cannot record me without my permission.
So anyway.
Your voice.
My voice.
You're shouting.
How dare you?
So anyway, you are a murderer of love. You know what she's listening to today? That furry is a lot more calm, because a surprise double album early this morning was dropped, as the kids say, by Taylor Swift, the Tortured Poets Department at midnight, then shocked fans 2 hours later.
And all her songs
with
are
15
about
extra songs.
Leo Tolstoy, which surprised a lot of her fans.
I know, a deep dive into classic Russian literature. What's it like? According to the Wall Street Journal, it's a deeply personal album about heartbreak with So Long London as the all-important fifth track, Fortnite. Why is it? Is there a thing that I don't know? That the fifth track has to be a thing?
Learn to live alongside cringe.
Featuring Fortnite, featuring Post Malone. That's the face tat white guy who now is Ozempic Post Malone. Now he's Post Ozempic. People I can't relate to will think this is exciting and important today. But anyway. People I can relate to will understand, will hear this and laugh loudly.
The Howe administration is handling reports of harassment.
Okay. You guys cannot record me without my permission!
Well, for it, now I want to go harass a furry. That's my new Friday thing. And then go catch a movie or something. All right, when we come back, shockingly, we've been told that Bill Barr is underwhelming. But he's a good party man, and we'll play that for you right after this. And I'll actually read some texts, and then we'll close out the texting as we close out the week. AM 770 KTTH.
I want more, and I know I shouldn't.
Adele, like you date Adele or marry Adele, then get divorced or break up, and she has a hit album or something like that.
God hide in me, oh, the tragedy, so.
There you go. That's all I'm going to play. But apparently, Taylor Swift's album dropped at midnight has already broken a Spotify record. I don't know if that counts. I don't care about sales, but anyway. But no one sells music anymore. They get remunerated for clicks, but there's a record, and that's all very thrilling. And I would not wish on my worst enemy a weekend discussing that artist or relationships with a Kansas City tight end on the whole thing. Well, it was Red Rum at the Timberline Lodge last night. Producer Greg, what Stephen King adapted film features Red Rum?
Some movie where blood is flowing out of an elevator, I think.
The Shining. And you know where the iconic lodge?
I think you've got this wrong in the past, but you tell me.
Timberline Lodge at Mount Hood.
You really think so?
Burned down last night. Total bummer. Beautiful place, but it didn't burn down. That's the headline. The good news is firefighters responded to the Timberline Lodge.
Overlook Hotel.
The fictional Overlook Hotel was the Timberline in Oregon for a 3-alarm attic fire reported by employees around 9:30 p.m. By 11:12 p.m., firefighters said they had mostly knocked down the blaze. And by 11:30, a spokesperson for the lodge said it had been extinguished. That would be a loss. So it was one of those ones that was built in the 30s, like the lodge at Yosemite. Just stunning. They're so huge, and just the way they don't make them anymore with old growth cedar, damn it. And like Longmire and Paradise up on Rainier. So not much damage apparently that can be seen from the outside, but allow me to say Red Rum and then make you all want to see The Shining again.
That's what happens when you're all work and no play.
Yeah, absolutely. Makes Jack a dull boy. Just type that over and over. Never read the book because I found the movie to be so good. I don't want to find out that the book was better.
And Stephen King didn't like the film adaptation of
his
book.
He's a bee, giant bee about everything.
A bro ham.
Don't take the money. It's just like him and Tom Clancy. Tom Clancy didn't like Hunt for Red October. Well, then you know what? start a film company, go make a movie. Oh, don't sell it. You know, a screenplay is different from a manuscript, or, you know, as maybe I might find out today. If I'm disappointed by Monday, if I'm disappointed in Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, you will all know. Or I will play. I will come down there and play more Taylor Swift at you, and you don't want that. So I mean, that's all. It's all so moody and she's how old? 14. it's like every bad mood. Does it require a song?
She's 34.
Ouch. Apparently, this is the fifth track, So Long London, and it's supposed to be weepy and the whole thing.
She outlived our Lord and Savior by 1 year to give us these dulcet tones.
Oh, yeah, like he would have.
You find some.
I find nothing in that makes me want to listen to one more second.
That's AI generated. That's
I know,
suspicion.
It may as well be.
She's trolling us. It's a machine.
So anyway, best of luck to her and all the money she's going to make and that whole thing. Updates on stuff locally. Yes, you are correct. It is going to be a beautiful weekend and you get to participate in it. It's going to be find your sunglasses, warm weather ahead. I really honestly, I need like 3 straight days for the lawn to dry out. So maybe by Sunday I might be mowing. You want to hear about dark humor? As I check the textings, a guy sends along a picture of a T-shirt and featuring an aid delivery on a pallet with a parachute. And a man standing underneath it about to get crushed, like has been happening in Gaza. And the T-shirt says, "Welcome to Palestine."
That is dark humor.
Funny, not funny. And
I'll go with not funny?
I'm going with funny.
Oh, okay. That's why we make it balance each
amongst,
other well.
Amongst a certain crowd, very funny. And not this crowd. She would write a song about this hurting her emotionally and all. So I just saw a picture of Ilhan Omar's niece or whatever, it looks very much like her, kicked out of Colombia. It's hilarious. So I think that is all of the mental attention that Taylor Swift is going to get from me, unless somehow I get a cease and desist or something like that. And the Timberline Lodge is safe, everyone. It's open for tourism, the whole thing. It's a beautiful experience. Paradise Longmire, why go there when you can go to Longmire or Paradise? Either one of them are as good or better than Timberline. The drive is better, fewer people, and the whole thing. So there you go. What are your big weekend plans?
You know what? It's funny you should ask. I have a great plan.
We'll probably sit around and cook some soups and eat bread and desserts and just get all fat and sassy.
Sassy.
About sums it up for me.
Sounds like a plan.
What about you?
Well, now that the ever bikini baristas can wear bikinis again after that bold Everett City Council
You're gonna
vote.
Go protest?
What the hell? I mean, honestly, because right, there's another text about this, about all the construction crews in downtown Everett, and that's who the customers are. You're just reinforcing my point for me. I mean, what is ogling a service worker getting your overpriced coffee? What does that do?
I mean, makes life worth living, Brian.
I mean, I'm saying I don't get it because I don't get it. It's like if what is someone going to like hold up a Playboy against a car window and you drive past them or something?
Let's just say I'm glad you don't get it. If you got it, then I might be worried
about
you.
I'd be in line there, but
and in love.
all right. So thanks to what was our guy's name?
David Malicote.
David Malicote. You can listen to that at what did we do 7:30 in the 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. hour. We talked to David Malicote, a chief information security officer And the top dog professional CISO podcast is what it's called. He's a cybersecurity expert talking to us about people losing confidence in this November's election because of AI-generated fake content and all that. You can check that out. So a friend of mine is doing a really cool event. I'll give him a shout out. Advanced Operational Concepts, the guy you've heard here, Michael Rourke, that I've talked to. Check out his Twitter feed at AOC, nothing to do with the squad. Advanced Operational Concepts, doing a really cool situational awareness, how to survive in modern day Seattle event on the east side of Bellevue tomorrow. And I'll be there for moral support for him, but check out his Twitter feed for that. And it'll be a fun time. And I'm not going to be, I barely am on Spotify as it is. So I think that's the end. I highly recommend that you add Allman Brothers and Dickie Betts, B-E-T-T-S, to your Spotify playlist and have a Allman Brothers Fest. Dickie Betts dead at the age of 80 last night. Every iconic guitar lick or solo that the Allman Brothers did, that was Dickie Betts. A real musician lost last night. So farewell to Dickie Betts, and you give me much to listen to on the way home today. All right, so thanks a lot. See you back here at 6 a.m. on Monday morning with more stuff and junk, local news and folksy anecdotes and witty asides. And the one missionary said, I just peed in their soup. Thank you, good night. AM 770 KTTH.